You know that feeling, maybe it's the weekend, you've got a limited amount of time, right? And there are, say, three things you really want to do, but you know you can realistically only manage one, maybe two, if you push it. That whole process of having to weigh things up, having to pick. Well, that's really the starting point for what we're digging into today, scarcity.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is how that exact feeling, that personal dilemma, it just scales right up. It applies to the entire economy.
How so?
Well, just like your weekend time is limited, the world has, practically endless wants. We want more goods, better services, progress.
Yeah.
But the actual resources available to make all that happen, they're finite.
Ah, okay, so it's that fundamental mismatch. Unlimited wants, limited means.
That's it. That's scarcity in a nutshell. It's the core economic problem.
Right. And the material we've been looking at really focuses on this core tension, this constant balancing act between what we desire and what's actually possible. So, our mission today in this deep dive is to sort of unpack these big ideas, scarcity, the choices it forces on us, and this related concept, opportunity cost.
And why they matter, not just in theory, but in, everyday life and the bigger economic picture.
Yeah, we want to get beyond just textbook definitions and into the real world
That's
implications.
why, so because scarcity isn't just some abstract idea economists talk about. It's really the engine driving economic thinking, because we simply can't have everything.
We need ways to decide how to use what we do have.
Right. We need frameworks for allocation.
Okay, so let's start with those fundamental resources. The materials break them down. First up is land. Now that sounds simple, but it's more than just like physical ground, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Think broader. It covers all natural resources, so
Yeah.
minerals, forests, water, oil, even clean air. It's the gifts of nature, so to
Yet you're
speak.
limited.
In many cases, yes, physically limited. There's only so much oil in the ground, only so much fertile land. That's one aspect of the scarcity.
Okay. Then there's labor. That seems more straightforward, people working.
It is, basically. It's the human effort, physical and mental, that goes into production. But again, there's a limit.
Not just the number of people.
No, it's also how labor can be used. I mean, a single person, however skilled, can only do one job at a time. Their time and expertise can only be applied to so many tasks. That's another constraint.
Makes sense. Okay, next, capital. Now, the sources are clear here in economics. Capital isn't just money, right?
That's a really important distinction. Economic capital refers to the man-made goods used to produce other goods and services.
So, like tools, machinery.
Exactly. Tools, machinery, factories, computers, delivery trucks, infrastructure, all the things we build to help us produce more efficiently.
And these are limited too.
Definitely. A factory has a maximum output. A machine can only run so many hours a day, so
Yeah.
capital resources are also scarce.
All right. Land, labor, capital. And the last one mentioned is entrepreneurship. This feels a bit different.
It is. It's the human element that brings the other three together. It involves taking risks, having initiative, organizing production, innovating.
Kind of the driving force.
You could say that.
Yeah.
And crucially, entrepreneurship itself is scarce. Not everyone has the ability or the willingness to take those risks and organize resources effectively.
So when you put it all together, land, labor, capital, and this entrepreneurial drive, they're all limited in some fundamental way.
Correct. Either physically finite or limited in how they can be deployed at any given time. And that limitation, that scarcity, is why we constantly have to make choices.
Okay, so scarcity is the bedrock issue. And the direct result, as the materials highlight, is this constant need to choose. And it's not just us deciding about our weekend.
No, it happens at every single level. Individuals, companies, entire governments.
Let's break that down. How does it look at the individual level for you and me?
Well, think about it. We have limited income
Yeah.
and only 24 hours in a day. So we're constantly making
Like,
trade-offs.
do I buy this thing now or save the money?
Exactly. Spends versus save. Or how do I use my free time? Do I relax or maybe take a course to improve my skills? Every time you decide to use your money, your time for one thing.
You're automatically deciding not to use it for something else.
Precisely. That's the choice scarcity forces on us. If you buy the concert ticket, you can't use that same money for, say, new headphones.
Or if I spend Saturday volunteering, I can't also use that time to, I don't know, work on a side project for extra cash. It's time or money being scarce.
And businesses face the exact same dilemma, just often on a larger scale. They've limited funds for investment, right? They have a certain number of employees, limited access to specific skills.
So they have to choose things like what products to focus on, which markets to enter.
Absolutely. The sources give a good example.
Yeah.
A company deciding whether to pour resources into developing a totally new product or maybe investing more in marketing their current successful one.
Both could be good options, but they probably can't afford to do both full throttle at the same time.
Usually not. They have to prioritize based on their limited resources. That's a classic business choice driven by scarcity.
And then governments. The scale there is massive. They're dealing with public money, taxpayer money.
And countless demands on that money. Should funds go to building new schools or upgrading hospitals, investing in roads or funding public transport, more defense spending, or more environmental protection?
Right. You hear those debates all the time. It's always about priorities because the money isn't infinite.
Exactly. Deciding to fund Project A often means, implicitly or explicitly, not funding Project B. It's a huge societal trade-off, all stemming from that basic fact of scarce resources.
So whether it's us, a company, or the government, scarcity means we're always weighing options, making choices, trying to satisfy the most important needs or wants first.
That's the core mechanism.
Okay, this idea of giving something up when you make a choice. That brings us to another really key concept from the materials. Opportunity costs.
Yes, this is fundamental.
It's not just about the money you spend, is it? It's about what else?
It's about the value of the next best alternative you didn't choose. What you had to forego. It captures the real cost of a decision, which often goes way beyond just the price tag.
Okay, give me an example. The sources mentioned students going to university.
Perfect example. So you go to university, there's the obvious cost, tuition fees, books, living expenses. That's the explicit cost.
Right.
But what's the opportunity cost? It's the income you could have been earning if you'd gotten a job straight out of school instead. That foregone salary is a major part of the true cost of getting that degree.
Ah, I see. So it's the value of the best path not taken.
Exactly. Or think about the government example again. They decide to spend $1 billion building a new airport.
Okay.
The opportunity cost isn't just the $1 billion. It's what else they could have done with that $1 billion.
Right.
Maybe they could have significantly upgraded healthcare facilities or invested in education. The next best use of those funds represents the opportunity cost.
And for a business, let's say they own a building.
Right. And they decide to use it for their own offices. The opportunity cost isn't zero just because they own it. It's the rent they could have earned if they'd leased it out to another company. Or maybe the profit they could have made if they'd used that building for manufacturing instead of offices.
So understanding opportunity cost forces you to see the trade-offs much more clearly.
Absolutely. It highlights what you're actually sacrificing. And as the materials emphasize, thinking in terms of opportunity cost helps individuals, businesses, and governments make more rational, more informed decisions.
Okay, this all makes sense. Scarcity forces choices, and every choice has an opportunity cost. Now, because of this reality, the sources point out that every single society, no matter its political or economic system, has to answer some basic, fundamental questions about using its scarce resources.
That's right. Three core questions emerge.
The first one is, what goods and services should we produce?
Exactly. Given limited resources, what do we prioritize? More food or more smartphones? More hospitals or more entertainment? Consumer goods for now, or capital goods like machinery to help us produce more later?
That seems like a huge decision. Who decides?
Well, that depends heavily on the economic system, as the sources note. In a market economy, consumer demand is a major signal. What people are willing to buy encourages producers to make those things.
And in other systems?
In, say, a centrally planned economy, the government makes most of those decisions about what gets prioritized and produced. But either way, the choice has to be made.
Okay. What's the second big question?
The second is, how should these goods and services be produced? This is about the methods, the techniques.
Like using more people versus more machines.
Precisely. Should production be labor intensive, relying heavily on human workers? Or should it be capital intensive, using lots of machinery, automation, technology?
And what determines that choice?
Several things, according to the sources. The relative cost and availability of labor versus capital is key. So is the level of technology available.
Yeah, the materials mentioned developing countries often use more labor-intensive methods because labor might be cheaper and more abundant.
Whereas developed economies might lean more towards capital-intensive methods because technology is advanced and labor costs might be higher, it's about finding the most efficient combination given the circumstance.
Right. Makes sense. And the third fundamental question.
This one is crucial. For whom should these goods and services be produced? Who gets to enjoy the output of the economy?
Ah, so this is about distribution.
Exactly. How is the economic pie divided up? Is it based primarily on income? Those who can afford to buy things get them? That's typical of market systems.
Or are there other ways?
Yes. Other systems might try to distribute goods and services based more on need or aim for greater equality in distribution, perhaps through government programs or subsidies. As some of the courses touch on, this question gets right into issues of fairness, equity, and social justice.
It sounds like the answer to for whom really reveals a lot about a society's values.
It absolutely does. It's about who ultimately benefits from the use of those scarce resources.
Okay, so let's pull this all together. Looking back at the materials we've discussed, it seems clear that scarcity isn't just, you know, an economics term. It's the fundamental condition that shapes pretty much everything.
It really is. Because our wants tend to outstrip our resources, we're constantly inescapably making choices.
As individuals, as businesses, as whole societies.
Yeah. And understanding opportunity costs helps us see the real cost of those choices, the value of what we're giving up.
Which hopefully leads to better, more thoughtful decisions about how we use those limited resources.
Ideally, yes. Better allocation.
And those three big questions, what to produce, how to produce it, and for whom, they're the unavoidable consequence of scarcity. Every society has to find answers to them.
They form the basis of any economic system. How a society answers them defines its economic structure and determines who benefits from economic activity.
So, really, scarcity choice and opportunity cost aren't just introductory concepts. They're kind of the foundational pillars for understanding how economies work.
Absolutely. They provide the essential lens for analyzing almost any economic issue.
So, as you listening think about all this, maybe consider a significant choice you made recently. What was the opportunity cost? I mean, what was the next best thing you gave up by making that choice?
Yeah, thinking about that.
Yeah.
How does recognizing that trade-off maybe influence how you'll approach similar decisions in the future?
It's powerful stuff. These core ideas really are the building blocks for exploring much more complex economic questions down the line. Thanks for digging deep with us today.